Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios for hour number three. Y'all, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, continuing with this theme of just having important people calling in, we're going to another important people. That's our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, who happens to be on the line right now. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's been a long week, and I was glad to be back in Birmingham today, but it's been a good one. Some good things happening and some really interesting things happening.
And I want to break that down. This part of the triple dipper, I'm calling it legislative whack-a-mole, because there was, you know, is it going to pass? Is it not going to pass? Did they bring it up? Is it going to be in committee? Did they not go into committee? And it just
that was exactly how it felt.
It was unreal. Hey, listen, before I do that, though, I'll just segue right out of my last section that I've been doing. Real quick, your thoughts on State of the Union and on Senator Britt's response.
Yeah. So I got home from a long week in Montgomery, but I sat down. I hadn't seen my kids in a couple of days, and they are somewhat interested in politics, as you might imagine, with having us as parents. And so we sat down to watch the State of the Union. And I always love watching things with them because their eyes, you know, and minds haven't been corrupted like ours have. And so their gut reactions are usually dead on. And so, one of my sons looks at me and says, "Why is he yelling at us so much? Why is he talking so fast? What's wrong with him? Is he okay?" You know, I mean, and so the things that they say are always really interesting because sometimes they know the issues, sometimes they don't, obviously, but they pick up on nuggets, but the tone of, you know, what is being said is what really sticks with them. And so that's what they were really talking about the most when they were watching the State of the Union. And as far as the content, it was more of a campaign speech. Yeah. It was not the State of the Union. It was hostile. It was a little strange at times. I don't really love the like cheering and booing. I don't really love the costuming. The lack of decorum bothers me because to me it's a debasement of the institution.
No, I agree. And I thought one of the most debasing moments was when he made a snide remark to the members of the Supreme Court that were sitting in the front row.
Yes.
I thought that was classless. And it just showed. I mean, it's one thing to call out the Republicans in the Congress because, you know, you're trying to deal with them. But the court is supposed to be the impartial of the three bodies, and
that's right.
It was smacked of being classless. Real quick, Katie Britt, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like Katie. She is, we're similar in the, you know, she's younger than me, but we're both moms, both, you know, interested in politics, have done a lot of work in that area. She is super passionate, and she, you know, one on one, also comes across super passionate. So I actually love the fact that she hosted it in her home.
Yeah.
I think that that's who she is, and that was true to who she is. I think a lot of people on the left specifically are trying to use that as though that was some sort of tool. That's literally who she is. They may not like who she is, and that's fine, but that's actually who she is. So that didn't bother me at all. You know, she is super passionate, especially about, you know, specific issues, the border issue. I've talked to her about that personally. She really was changed by seeing what was happening on the border. And I think that came across maybe differently to some of us who know her versus some of the folks that don't know her. And then also, you know, we just have to take everything with a grain of salt. And that it doesn't matter who gave the Republican response. The Democrats were not going to like the response, just like we didn't necessarily like the tone or delivery of President Biden's speech either.
AL.com, I just saw it about 5 minutes before you called in. AL.com, which is not known for being a bastion of conservatism, but they've got a tweet out there right now where they're comparing her voice in one speech to her voice in last night's speech. See, that's not her usual voice. She was putting on air. And I'm thinking, what a ridiculous thing. And oh, by the way, aren't you supposed to be an objective, you know, section of the media?
I don't think they even pretend anymore.
No, they don't. All right, let's switch gears. Whew, I've done 2 hours of State of the Union. This has been some more kind of a week in the Alabama legislature. Some good, some bad, some still going. Our listeners may not even know, because of all the other news cycles going on, that last night the Alabama Senate actually passed a gambling bill. And
right.
It may not be the same gambling bill, but it's freaking ugly. So yeah. give us your unvarnished thoughts there, Steph.
Yeah, I'm going to use that in my next analysis that I give to the senators.
Freaking ugly.
I do say some things that may or may not have been said at API before, but I do try to also distill the information to them. The House gambling bills put together were about 150 pages. I would estimate five or fewer of the House members actually waded through all 150 of those pages.
Please.
And then the Senate version, the enabling legislation's 87. I can't remember how many pages the CA is, but it's about 100 pages total. And so, I see our role at API as being bill analysts and substitution analysts and amendment analysts. And so what we've done is break down exactly what the bills say so that our lawmakers can actually know what it says so that they know what they're voting for. So that's what we did. That's what we've done this entire time with this gambling legislation and trying to break down exactly what it does, what it doesn't do, how it addresses different things. But the Senate bills are supposedly much better than the House bills.
Supposedly.
Well, they are some areas. They tried to pull some of the corruption. I mean, there was literally corruption written into those House bills and articulated, which was very strange. I mean, at least leave it unsaid and be savvy, but whatever. So they tried to pull some of the corruption out. They tried to do a few, around the edges, protection of kids through advertising and things like that. But the net effect of the Senate bills is very similar to the net effect of the House bills, which is legalizing the current illegal operators, doing a compact with PCI, which would allow them
Porch
to have
Creeks.
Vegas-style games. Yes, Porch Creek Indians, which would allow them to have Vegas-style games across the state. And then also, a statewide lottery. The only large change between the two bills, as far as, just how it would affect Alabamians in their daily life, is that the Senate bills do not include unlimited sports betting, but there's a little question on the definition of gambling and the fact that the Gambling Commission would be able to redefine what gambling is at any time.
No, so really?
Sports betting, yes. Sports betting is not written into the legislation per se, although it is mentioned several times, which is strange, especially for a bill that claims not to have any sports betting in it. But, it's kind of one of those things, like I said, with the corruption. Sometimes they write it right in there where you can see it, and then sometimes it's left unsaid, but it's still there. And so, the difference between the two bills is significant, but also really not, because it's basically a huge expansion of gambling either way.
So let me ask you a couple of questions, because I've not even had a chance to read through the most recent iteration. I was in court half a day yesterday, and then, next thing I know, they've already passed something. With regards to Porch Creeks, I had Justice Murdoch on the show the other day, mm-hmm. and we talked about the deep concerns that all they have to do is the Porch Creeks claim or be approved for additional lands, and it would mean additional casinos. Did they put any kind of a limitation on the geographic scope of the Porch Creeks in this new version of the bill?
They didn't put a geographic restriction. They did put a date certain, which is in question whether or not that's going to be effective or not. Because what happens is that once a compact is signed, then the Porch Creek they don't have to negotiate with the state anymore. Their only negotiation for expansion at that point, because they would have Class 1, Class 2, and Class 3 gambling under the compact in the state, the only negotiation after that compact is signed would be with the federal government. And the problem with that is the Department of Interior. The Department of Interior has only turned down the expansion of gambling for an Indian tribe once since 1988, and that had nothing to do with the tribe. So it's an unanswered question. It's something that, I worked specifically on that language, trying to figure out exactly what was there, what wasn't there, Former Justice Glenn Murdoch was super helpful on that.
And
we were trying to let the senators know exactly what they were voting for, because there are some that really wanted to just kind of do, lottery plus status quo, but there is no such thing as a clean lottery because of the way our Constitution is written. And there's no such thing as the status quo because the Poarch Creek Indians have the ability to expand through the compact and then externally through the federal government.
Let me ask you this. We're going to take a break here momentarily. I got about a minute. So we've got a gambling bill that came from the House, was substituted with something entirely different in the Senate, yes, which means it's going to have to go back to the House. They're off next week. So this is the week when there's going to be all kinds of pressure being brought to bear on members of the House to please support the Senate version or do something. What is your anticipation with about 30 seconds here? What's your anticipation on that? Are they going to pass it?
I think that they will non-concur because the bills are significantly different. And I think they'll non-concur. The bills will be moved to conference.
Oh, God.
And then we'll see what we end up with after the conference process.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the conference process can be good. It can be really, really bad. It depends on how they stack the conference, which they can put, they can put the people in there who were intent upon making ill things happen and come out with a distorted piece of freaking ugly legislation. all right, listen, can you hang on during the break? I want to talk to you about some other things that actually were good this week. All right, we're with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Been quite a week in the Alabama legislature, not just in D.C., not just State of the Union. I'm talking about the whack-a-mole we've been seeing in the Alabama legislature. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. That bump was Stranglehold by Ted Nugent, which is just a fitting title for the topic we're on right now. Our Alabama legislature has had a stranglehold on some bills lately. We're going right back to the phone with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. So, Stephanie, gambling aside, there were some wins this week. And school choice looks like it has become a reality in the state of Alabama. Tell us about your thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the CHOOSE Act, actually, with all the whack-a-mole, as you were referring to it, the CHOOSE Act got moved up a day because there was not broad agreement on the gambling bills. And so that was supposed to be Wednesday, ended up being Thursday. They got swapped. And so there was a hurry-up meeting called at 4. Started at 4:15, ended at 4:45, and all of a sudden the school choice bill was on the floor the next day on Wednesday. There was a decent amount of debate on that. Arthur Orr carried the bill. There was some pushback on it from the usual characters, but it ended up passing by a wide margin, and then Governor Ivey signed that bill on Thursday morning at 9:30. So I was there for the signing ceremony. API has been a leader for years on the school choice issue, and I had been working pretty heavily on that issue for the last couple of years, especially since July. Last year we had the Price Act, and then since July of this year, when Governor Ivey declared that school choice was going to be her top priority, I had been working with her staff the coalition of us had been. And so we were not surprised that it passed. It is not a perfect bill, as you know. None of them are. It's definitely a process. But the big things that people need to know about it is that in the third year, it will become universal for every student in the state of Alabama to have access to it in some way. And that was
huge.
One of the big goals that we had as an organization was to make sure that even if it, kind of had to be incremental getting there or take some baby steps to get there through the implementation process, that we weren't picking winners and losers among the children, and that all kids would have the ability to be a part of the program if their parents wanted them.
And I think what you just said about the bill not being perfect is a perfect example. I'm using the word perfect too many times, but it's a great example of not letting the quest for the good or quest for the perfect outweigh the ability to gain the good. And that's where we were. We didn't get a perfect school choice bill. I think the Price Act last year was an even better version of what I would have loved to see pass. But but I like this, and I like that we're finally on board. I mean, having been there myself on the floor of the Senate the night we passed the Alabama Accountability Act, which was the first measure of school choice we'd ever had, we just took a great giant step even from that point.
Absolutely. It's a win for the kids in Alabama.
Absolutely.
And so, who are we to stand in their way?
And I look forward to seeing its implementation and how it improves things. All right, listen, I got about 2 minutes here. I don't even know which. I got so many things I want to cover with you, Stephanie.
It was a busy week.
It has been a busy week. So there's also the so-called controversial ballot harvesting bill. That is moving. We also had Birmingham Southern suddenly come back into play to get more money from the state. Pick one of those. Which one you like?
Yeah, I mean, we're supporting the ballot harvesting bill in that the language there, it's not really super controversial. I'm not sure why it's turned into that. Another one that is supposedly controversial that had a lot of folks show up to protest it this week was Will Barfoot's DEI bill.
Oh yeah,
which we are fully supporting the elimination of those programs, you know, K through graduate school. And then another couple of things that moved this week that are on our blueprint list is the property tax assessment cap. Trying to get those values capped at an increase of no more than 5% annually. There are a lot of people who got hit with huge property tax bills over the last couple of years. And our idea is, hey, you can increase it, but don't increase it more than 5% a year, because we don't want people losing their homes because of huge, and I'm talking about like 65% increases in some areas.
Yeah,
we
saw a lot of that where I live, and it was very unusual the way it all came together. Well, listen, thank you for we didn't even touch all the stuff I've got here in my stack. But by the way, you are allowed to go ahead, just give me credit occasionally for whack-a-mole and freaking ugly. Feel free to use those terms as you work the legislative processes.
I will be using those terms often. Thank you, Phil.
All right, Stephanie Smith. President of the Alabama Policy Institute. You can find out more about their work and what they do at alabamapolicy.org. Appreciate you, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Phil.
All right, thank you. Wow, what a week. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that when we get back, because I got stuff I didn't even cover with you. And it was whack-a-mole. That's a great description. Freaking ugly. That is too. Phil Williams, we'll be right back.